Yep. All right. Cool.
Very good.
Good to go.
Toy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors.
You're right,
head
aren't you?
To toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
That's staying in. It's going to stay in.
Oh, yeah. This is Alan.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. G'day, it's Trent here, and it is so wonderful to have you company for episode 349.6. This week on the show, we get into the Vintage Toy Awards as we take a look at Transformers Generation 1 Decepticons and hand out the prizes to the best in show. Joining me today in the Toy Power studio, we've got Scotty.
Nice cold beer for every Toy Power podcast. I love it.
Good, good. That's what we like to hear. Frank is here.
Hello, hello.
Ben is here.
G'day, g'day.
And Morgan is back. Welcome back, g'day, Morgan. Guys. Good to have you back. You've probably got the most complete G1 collection out of anyone here.
Definitely. Possibly.
Yes,
yeah.
So this is like...
A few bits and pieces missing.
A couple of bits and pieces. But this is like picking a favorite child. It's gonna be hard, isn't it?
Oh, when I got the questions through, I was like, "There's some seriously tough ones in here. might upset some people."
Oh, okay. Well, that's what we like. Bit of controversy. Always good to go through these and get your thoughts, because there's no right or wrong answers when we get, unless you pick a black and white for best color. That's probably a wrong answer. All right, Morgan, we just want to get to know you a little bit. So you got to go through the three Toy Power questions. Does someone have a mystery question good to go?
No.
No. Okay. Well, while we're going through this, I'll come up with a mystery question. Question number one, favorite movie as a 10-year-old?
Well, as a 10-year-old, I'm pretty sure it's pretty obvious for most people that would be able to pick what it is. It's actually the 1986, obviously, Transformers animated movie.
Nice.
Good call. That's what we like.
Any scar tissue from the black and white sequence?
Well, I don't think that because I saw it when I was a bit older. It's just one of those things, and I think that's one of the real things that sort of makes it so iconic.
Yeah.
Obviously, you saw the effect that it had on other movies like G.I. Joe.
Yep. He's alive. It's okay. He's alive.
But yeah, I think that's one of those movies that, get the old VHS out and watch it until there's a few streaks in the end and a couple of parts where the sound goes away. So that would quite easily be, to this day, still one of my favorite movies. And she gets a good run out every now and then, especially, there's a couple of different versions, obviously, some remastered stuff and whatever, but just good to bust it out every now and then.
Yeah, nice. And look, to be fair, that movie holds up. You know, great soundtrack, great animation, good story, good voice cast. It's very watchable. There's certain probably animation from that era that is harder, hasn't aged as well, but I think 86 is a solid watch.
Yeah, yep. No, they did well. I've got some of the remastered versions, and I don't like them. I prefer the more original, darker look because, you know, they go and clean it up and make it all brighter stuff.
Looks too good.
And I'm like, no, I want it more, grainy and things. So I think sometimes remastered isn't always the better option. So,
Well, as Trent touched on, the voice cast for this film is absolutely insane. Frank Welker, Peter Cullen, but you've got then Orson Welles.
Yeah, Orson Welles,
Leonard Nimoy, Judd Nelson. Question for you, Morgan. Who is the standout voice actor in the film?
Oof. Well, that's a tough one, but I think, like, for the theme for today, I think we're going to have to go with the Leonard Nimoy Galvatron. I think, obviously, Frank Welker did such a good job of Megatron over the years just that booming voice that Leonard Nimoy put out for Galvatron over that movie. I think it's, obviously it went away as the cartoon came on and they did try and sort of mimic it a bit. But, I think that was sort of peak Galvatron in that in the movie there.
It's so funny as a Star Trek fan, so like, you know, like I've that's where I know Leonard Nimoy from, and then in the Rick, as you know, as a Vulcan, he doesn't have emotions. He's very calm, and so the very few times in the show where he does arc up and get aggressive for whatever reason, I'm like, there he is, there's my boy, like
there's Galvatron.
Yeah, very good. All right. Favorite toy as a 10-year-old?
Oh, this one here would probably be no surprise at all, but it's probably one of the best toys probably out in the 80s, and it's obviously G1 Optimus Prime.
Oh, nice. The OG. Yep.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it's so good that it's got so many releases. Mm. It's been released so many times.
The reissues, yep.
And really, they, except for the newest one, which I'm chomping at the bit to get my hands on, which is a Missing Link one, it's essentially just been the same one released over and over again.
Yeah,
and,
yep.
So I really haven't had to tweak it much, except for the odd safety standard to take out some of the firing missiles and stuff like that. And yeah, the smokestacks as well on the 25th anniversary one. But yeah, it's just one of those things. It's, you know, it's got good articulation in robot mode, and it looks amazing in the vehicle mode. And yeah, it just... yeah, just got that playability as well.
Yeah. Austin would agree with you. I've got a mate of ours who's, he wouldn't call himself a Transformers collector, but he is an Optimus Prime collector, and he has all his shelf of, or wall of Optimus Prime toys that I remember seeing was just something else, just so much red and blue, and you're just like, oh my God, they're all in there, but I can't see them amongst each other. It's amazing.
All right, mystery question now. I'm going to steer this away from... Transformers for 1 minute, and it's a question we actually asked Brian Flynn, and he had a very interesting answer. But
yes.
Which, if you have to pick a favorite Ninja Turtle, who are you going to pick? Who are you going to side with? I think in this room we can all, maybe with the exception of Scotty, he gets told which Ninja Turtle he is. we all have a kind of a brother.
Yeah.
Who's your pick?
So obviously I've got the little fella, and his favorite is Donatello. So in that vein, I'm going to have to go with the one that he spends the most time with in the cut-in. And so I'm going to go with Mikey.
Nice. Cool.
So yeah. they hang out the most, Donnie and Mikey.
Obviously,
yeah.
You see, like, obviously, right. Even in the movie, yep. They sort of spend a fair bit of time together and sort of singled off.
Yep.
And, I mean, who doesn't love a bit of a party and a bit of pizza and just a bit more easy going than some of the other turtles at times. But yeah, you could throw your blanket over any of them, really.
That's right,
especially some of them ones in the cartoon and that as well. The, you know, your soft spot for Raph. And then obviously Leo as well with the leader, and he could sort of come into his own in some of the later movies, like, not the later,
not the live action movies.
Not the later
live
action.
We don't talk about those.
But yeah, obviously, and you know they did them so well in the new Turtles movie as well.
Yeah,
And yeah, sort of. So one of the things that I have seemed to notice, which is a trend, is a lot of Transformers guys, their kids seem to err towards Ninja Turtles. even if you've got Transformers going on them, the kids seem to lean towards Ninja Turtles. So yeah, it's very interesting how that works.
We'll talk a bit about...
The future is safe.
We'll talk about, what is it, the new Transformers trailer has just dropped.
Transformers 1.
And look, I think maybe they've noticed that, and they've adapted their style to be a bit more like Ninja Turtles, a bit more hip and less robotic. So we should... touch on that at some point.
Yep.
Should we do that now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it before we get into the main episode. Yep.
So the trailer dropped. Who's the voice talent for this? I think Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. But they've modulated his voice so much so that you don't think it's Thor.
Yes.
Right? We're so used to hearing him through the Marvel movies and obviously a lot of his other back catalogue. You know, I was listening to it again. I was like, I know that's him because I've seen his name on the thing and all the press and the PR, but they've put a little bit of what I can only describe as like Peter Cullen gravel to his voice, and just sort of a rattle almost underneath that gives it that Optimus Prime feel, but it's obviously not Peter Cullen. So I think it's good because if you were hearing Thor, then you're just like, oh, I'm taken out of the movie straight away.
Yep. Oh, that's a good choice. Mm. Okay, so what the premise of this, from what I could take out without getting into too many spoilers, Optimus Prime, it's a young Optimus Prime, so it's before he's Optimus Prime, and he's best buddies with Megs. Or, he's got a different name. He's not called Megatron.
D16. Do we know what that's for?
No.
D16 is Destron, Japanese for Decepticons, Megatron was number 16 as part of the toy run.
There you go.
So D16.
I like that.
They also ran with that in the comics, I reckon, in some IDW comics on that. When they go into some of the Megatron's origins and stuff as well.
I was just going to ask, because that's where I know like that whole story of them being mates before they were Optimus and Megatron was from the IDW stuff. Yeah. I feel like they're borrowing bits from that, but the IDW stuff is a bit more like, Autobots are these aristocratic dickheads, for lack of a better term, and the Decepticons are sort of the downcast worker drones. So I don't feel they're going to go that. Yeah, the grunts. Yeah. I don't think they're going to go that angle, right, just based on this trailer. But it'd be interesting. I like the fact that these two, pivotal leaders of the future were mates, a long time ago. So
So anyway, so they're buddies, they're workers. They're non-transforming robots. And then they decide to go to the surface and they seem to be on this adventure together. It looks like Bumblebee's in there. Mm. There's was it RC or something?
A little one.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And they seem to be adventuring together. And the tone of it was kind of very, very, it's written slapstick. As a comedy. Slapstick and lots of jokes, lots of reacting to scenes. Animation looked beautiful. Yep. Animation looked really, really crisp. But the tone was, to me, and maybe I haven't seen a lot of modern Transformers, but the tone was a little bit strange. They felt like they could just be like down the streets in the burbs of New York or something. They didn't feel like they were inhabitants of Cybertron. They felt like they were inhabitants of downtown New York, and they were going to head to the mall, kind of thing. That was sort of my take. And I get, and look, and I'm sure if I showed that to my kids, they'd be like, "Yep, I'm in for this. It's good. It's got the right tone." For me, it felt a little bit strange.
Morgan,
well, for me, I feel that as well. But to me, I think the factor was just the characters they selected.
Yep.
To put into that story. Like, I can understand wanting Optimus Prime and Megatron to be friends in the backstory and stuff like that, but I don't think that with the history of it all, that this was a story that you should have utilized that. I think you could have picked four random Transformers out that sort of haven't really got as much screen time and put them in that same scenario and that same story and really, shine some light on some that sort of don't get any action like in other times. Optimus Prime or Orion and that can still be in the movie, but I think that slapstick style sort of doesn't lend itself to, those characters even so far as back then.
Yeah.
Mm. It's funny, I think as a franchise, like when the Turtles Mutant Mayhem trailer first came out, Seth Rogen stylish humor was accepted because, hell, it's got teenage in the title of it, right?
Definitely.
And I think we've been conditioned as an audience to go, well, Transformers are serious. From 2007 onwards, thanks to Michael Bay, Transformers are these big, and it's serious and it's saving the world and it's Peter Cullen saying, I'm going to kill you and stuff like this. Like, I feel like that's what we've come to accept. Transformers are serious. Robots don't have a sense of humor, according to what we as an audience know, and I feel like this is such a departure from those sort of movies. But there are, bits of some of the Transformers animated cartoon, Transformers Prime cartoon, where there is like a lot more humor in it. But I think because it looks like almost the opening scene to the Bumblebee movie in terms of it's all set on Cybertron. The difference is that because it's set on Cybertron, there's going to be no humans in this, which is actually a good thing. And humans were the vehicle for the humor. It was Shia LaBeouf talking about masturbation. It was, all these other, what's his name, Jesse Eisenberg, getting out the statute of limitations, blah, blah, all that dumb toilet humor was the human characters in all these movies. Now, all of a sudden, you've got Megatron and Optimus and Bumblebee making these jokes, and it's a bit of a whiplash jarring, for people to get used to, I think. Yeah,
that is the flip side of not having the human characters, I think. And it was interesting. And I think, to Morgan's point, if you hadn't made it Optimus and Megatron, maybe it would have been easier to digest. And look, there's an arc there for them, and maybe that's over thousands of years that they change and develop into the characters. But really, like, ultimately, these are going to be warring factions. And maybe you got to start somewhere, but where's that? Where's the kind of the military training, or where's that? Is that just down the track? Or is that inherent in this character from like a very early age? It felt jarring, and I'm sure they can explain it, and I'm sure they'll do it. But
for me, I read these storylines in the IDW Dreamwave. I get mixed up what comic run it was, but I read these storylines, and they were very serious. Like Megatron seeing the uprising of, hey, you know, Autobots are getting away scot-free, and here we are, you know, getting our hands dirty all the time, you know. So I saw this storyline unfold, and it was very well told and stuff. Seeing the trailer, I thought it was a TV series. I thought, this is a new TV series. I'm like, that's cool. It's not for me. You know, movie coming out whenever. I'm like, what? It's a movie? Oh, my gosh. Like, I was
a theatrical movie at that.
True, like, that.
Not even straight to streaming.
I also think it's wrong that Bumblebee is the third, you know, pivotal character. Like, I understand why they've chosen him, because Optimus Prime is going to get bums on seats. Everyone knows Megatron, and Bumblebee is arguably the third character that you ask any kid, name me three Transformers. They're the top three anyone's going to say off the top of their head. So I understand that. But I feel Bumblebee comes in a lot later. I always look at Bumblebee as a younger bot and things. But whatever. End of the day, it is not for me. Like, but if it gets my kids into Transformers, I mean, they're aging out now where they're into finding their own, you know, journey and things like that. But, you know, if it gets that next generation, then fantastic, but definitely not for me, and probably not for anyone around this table for that matter.
And I would suggest, in terms of the character selection, like, we look at it and we might go, yeah, from a story point of view, it makes sense. From a toy point of view, they're going to want those big names on the toy shelves. Like, I had a colleague of mine brought a little son in to work, and I said, oh, come past my desk. I've got some toys on there. Have a little look. And he's like, do you have an Optimus Prime?
Yep.
I'm like, I do at home, not on my desk, but... You know, that was straight into Optimus. And my little nephew, he's just all about Optimus.
Which one's going to sit on a shelf for longer, Bumblebee or Hound or Silverstreak or whatever? Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Bumblebee moves in the same way we joked the last episode about needing our 300th Wolverine figure. They keep pumping them out because we keep buying them.
Yeah.
That's the same I feel with Bumblebee.
Yeah, and I think in the Transformers line, we've sort of been conditioned now to these are the 5 or 6 guys we're going to get on each side, and we're just going to roll them out. Like, obviously, you know, even out in regions, like the Studio Series RC is just shelf warming.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, so I don't know how they're packing them, but, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, everyone was screaming out for it. They're like, okay, here it is. And then they just oversaturated it. Like, to your point before as well, I think, like, you know, if you go back to some of the older Guardians, there was a Dion, like, or maybe even an Ironhide that could have filled that place, like, or Bumblebee.
Even Cup, like, you know, I never respected Cup. I thought he was just a, you know, random character. The toy wasn't even that good. Sorry, Fresh, for saying that, but I just, you know, I just never felt for it. Then I read the IDW standalone series where he's a war-torn vet. He's smoking spark plugs and things.
Yeah.
Since reading that storyline, it was so well told. I'm like, bam, Cup is, you know, escalated up to one of my favorite bots now, and I've never looked at him the same since reading that really, really good storyline.
So
you get a good storyline, you can, you know, really build up a character, but you get a poor slapstick, you know, thing, it goes nowhere. And unfortunately, with this, you know, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Megatron thing, it's not going to revolutionize any of the other, you know, third tier characters. Like, look what it did to Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, it took characters that I had not even heard of, put them into family conversations around dinner tables and how cool Star-Lord is, how Groot is, and Rocket Raccoon and things like that is just amazing.
Household names,
So,
Look, I'm keen for this. I think it's fun. I think Transformers has been a bit too serious for a bit too long. Some of the stuff I love was, you know, the Transformers animated series or Transformers Prime that had that bit of sense of humor. And look, it's going to draw new people in. I'll probably go see this, to be honest. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but in the trailer, your boy shows up ever so briefly in one of the...
I didn't see it. No.
Yeah, there is a very quick shot of some very brooding-looking Decepticons with, you know, your Starscreams and that sort of stuff. So, and then also be interested to see where it goes from here. Transformers 1 implies, you know, a reboot or retelling of sorts. How far, you know, are they still friends at the end of the movie, you know, Prime and Megatron, or they started to go their separate ways, all that sort of stuff. So I'm keen.
Very good. All right, wait and see. If you've got thoughts, let us know. Be keen to hear them. All right, let's get into a bit of this.
The Vintage Toy Awards.
Okay, so the rules for this segment, we've got a couple of categories, about 10 or so categories. We're going to be pretty zippy with this. We're going to go around and shout out our choice and maybe a couple of reasons why, and then zip around. So the first category is our standout leader class Decepticon. These are all Decepticons that we're picking.
Yep. And we tried G1. To keep it, American release. So we're not going into the Japanese runs and things like that. I think it just gets too deep.
Okay, fair enough. I've stuck to that. Scotty, over to you, leader class.
For me, it's Megatron. Like, he's such a timeless classic figure. As a G1, he looked great as a robot, but then transformed into a pistol that you can hold in your hand as a kid, and it becomes a completely different toy.
And you can be you can be James Bond.
You are James Bond because it's replicated on a Walter PPK hand pistol. So
P-38, is it?
Yeah. P-38, yeah.
There you go. Perfect.
Change the gun laws in Australia, that toy did.
That did.
Put an orange cap in the end of the muzzle these days and the police will leave you alone.
Yeah. Nice. Morgan.
For me, I did consider Megatron as the first one, but then I shifted myself over to Galvatron. It was more like, obviously, when you look at the figures, it was like it was just a bigger, imposing figure. And, you know, you thought more like it felt more like, as for the team of the Decepticons, you would think like a bigger, more stronger, powerful, what would have been the leader. And, you know, had a bit of playability, had that annoying sound and the screeching sound, but I landed on Galvatron for my leader class.
Fantastic. I went with good old Shockwave, the one-eyed Decepticon, one-handed Decepticon. Also came with those annoying electrical sounds and lights, both fantastic in robot mode and vehicle mode. He does stand a lot taller than most of the other Decepticons in the that range. And just a freaking awesome looking figure, full stop.
Yep. Yeah, look, cut, copy, paste, you stole my answer there, Ben. But he stands out from a design perspective with that one eye. Lights and sounds is always a winner on any sort of toy. He was one that, you know, I didn't acquire till much later in life, sort of collecting as an adult. But I remember, you know, seeing him at my mate's house and going, oh, how cool. And a gun without it being, you know, scary realistic. It was a cool space gun that had purple flashing lights and sounds, like, you know, winner, winner all over it. Yep. Like, loved it.
Yep. No, good call. I went with Galvatron. I think, cut, copy, paste what Morgan said. In that kind of tank mode, that felt more intimidating as a leader rather than turning into a tiny little pistol that someone else has to wield.
Mm.
Just felt more like, that's what we expect from our big bad. I had him as a kid. I got him at an op shop for like $2. So he's very, very tactile. He's pretty solid. He's chunky. He's big. He's pretty easy to transform. There's not a lot of, you know, difficult movements. And he's also got that kind of third mode, which is like the hand cannon.
Yes.
As well as being kind of like a ground cannon. So, shout out to Galvatron, voiced wonderfully by Leonard Nimoy in the 86 movie. All right, we're going on to our next category, which is...
Standout second-tier character. So this could be basically anyone that's not some of the big guys. Who's your random Decepticon that just sort of tickles your fancy, Scotty? Well,
to me, it's actually Shockwave.
Oh.
Because back in the television show, he was not a part of the main ensemble, but when you flash back to Cybertron, he's there manning the homeworld almost as a solo character. And when you got to see him on the screen, it was a special treat. It was like, who is this mysterious character I know nothing about? Mm. So that's who I'm going to nominate, Shockwave.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Fair.
For me, I think it was obviously someone who did get a bit of a time in the sun in a couple of episodes. I picked out Astro Train for my second tier character.
Nice. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Obviously, he gets a bit of love in the movie as well, and also in the episode The God Gambit as well, mm-hmm. where obviously he even though Starscream's there, he still puts him in his place and said it sort of puts him to work. And then obviously, you know, you've got the sort of the gimmick of the triple changer into a train and obviously the spaceship. And, you know, for their time, they were, you know, they were done reasonably well. Mm. And, you know, obviously him and Blitzwing were sort of got their day sometimes. And, so I picked him because, sort of very influential in some episodes. And,
Did you used to scratch your head looking at the catalog and looking at your own toy, being like, "Hey, why don't the color matches? Why is
this doesn't quite line up?"
Yeah,
and so I didn't have him until I was older.
Right.
And but even then, I had the Takara book style that was the black.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
The black and the white. As
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
But obviously he was one that obviously one of my cousins had him.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things that I was like, oh my God, we got to get him out. Come on. Because especially a lot of the introduction that I had was obviously within the 86 movie. So obviously he was reasonably pivotal in some of those scenes.
Yep.
Obviously,
we carried everyone.
Yeah.
Yep. Fantastic call out. For me, it's got to be Skywarp. One of the first or second characters that I ever got as a kid. An amazing F-18 jet, part of that initial seeker crew, absolutely phenomenal. Purple and black, love that color scheme to this day. Just absolutely phenomenal. What else can I say? Skywarp is just wicked all around, in my opinion.
Mm. I'm going to keep on the triple changer theme. I'm going to select the one you didn't mention from the triple changers, Octane. He got pretty much zero love in the cartoon, from what I recall, but he was my first triple changer as a kid, and I think his tanker mode is still really good. It's got like a chrome bit that sort of goes over the back to give it that real tanker feel, and then he turns into like a Boeing sort of jet. And in robot mode, he's got the big sort of wings that stand up behind him. Like it's for a Transformer that is ultimately rather sort of thin and sort of up and down, the wings just add something to him. He was able to hold that sort of tanker thing as a bit of a shield as well. Like, just a really cool toy. Certainly does not get as much love as the other two triple changers. But Octane is the guy I want to shout out.
Nice. I might have... Gone early, but I've gone with Soundwave. I'm sure he'll come up in maybe some of the other categories because he certainly can feature in a number of those. But obviously, very, very cool looking. Who didn't want a boombox back in the 80s? And the very fact he's able to house those cassettes that changed it, they were
pivotal,
brilliant in their own right. Like the designs of those, Rat Bat through.
Buzzsaw, Laserbeak, Overkill, Slugfest.
Yeah.
And the fact that he came with Buzzsaw from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, like, unfortunately, Blaster, being a bit bigger, didn't come with a cassette, his own cassette. And I think he was damaged because of that fact.
Never as cool.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing as well is that Buzzsaw also had only limited time in the TV series. Yeah. So, like, you know, even though he came with him, everyone wanted Laserbeak.
Well, that is marketing 101. Clever, you do not advertise the figure that comes with him. You advertise another set.
The repaint.
The repaint. Yep. So that you bug your parents to go out and spend more money on your toy collection.
And especially for those sets, they were, like, a lot on the lower price end as well. Like,
for sure.
You know, you pick up a, depending on how you are, a Frenzy and a Laser
Ravage
beak,
or something. Yeah.
You know, and a Rumble and a Ravage in the same packs. Like,
yeah.
You know, just to fill out the Decepticons because there were so many Autobots against the Decepticons in that initial run.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, time to pick out the best color scheme, best use of color in the toy. Morgan, over to you.
Now, this one was a hard one, but I just went with a simple one because it's easily the best color combo, and that is the black and the purple for the Skywarp.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
You know, you get into some of the Headmasters series and they get a bit wild, but to me, just the black and the purple are just the ideal Decepticon colors.
Mm.
And so that's why Skywarp ends up as my choice for the best use of color.
Yeah.
Simple, but yeah, it just works so well.
Effective. Yeah, 100%. Good call. For me, I went Devastator, right? The good old Constructicons.
Have you ever seen a construction vehicle green?
I've put my green glasses on and wanted to see, but the fact that the internet's gone crazy and coloured real world vehicles into the green, they've released Generation 2 as the yellow colour scheme. Tonka has released it in the yellow scheme, but just the purple and green, like those colors shouldn't work together on paper, yet they look so damn good. Devastator being all green, all his limbs being all the green color and the purple being the highlights. I just think he looks so freaking awesome.
He's got a bit more uniformity compared to some of the other combiners. They're a bit mishmash.
Yeah, so that's my call out for good old Devastator use of color.
Good call.
I went very similar to Skywarp, but I went with the Insecticons. You know, they've got the yellow chest going predominantly with your purples and blacks, but then they've got the chrome pieces as well. Like, they're just, you can look at them and you go, in whatever mode they're in, you go, oh, bad guys, straight away. And, being arguably the very first, beast sort of, Transformers in those early days. Like, I just think they stand out on a shelf because of the color, basically.
Yeah.
Did we skip over Scotty?
I had a rhythm to the rotation. Like, it moves along one every time and goes around. Gotcha. That's how I was
doing some
doing.
Random.
No, it's not random. It's just simple.
He's drawing a pentagram on the table.
Yeah.
Spin the bottle.
Is it my turn now?
No, it's mine. Okay. Then yours. Then when we reset, goes over to Ben.
Sorry, boss.
these are all good call-outs, and they're all ones I considered in my journey, but I ended up settling on Predaking.
Yes.
Predaking.
Oh, yes.
He's
red, black, and yellow.
Red, black, yellow with some sort of gold as well.
And stuff.
But that orangey color is predominant, right? It's not like some of those combiners are, like you say, very mishmash. He's not quite to the Devastator consistency level, but he's pretty close. So he looks good in that mode. And I remember seeing him at your place, Frank. You've got one.
Yeah,
you've got one as well. Yeah. And he just stands out on the shelf. So I think he's beautiful, but hard to go. I mean, some of these schemes are striking.
Yeah.
All brilliant shout outs. Loved it. Loved it. You're gonna keep up the good form?
I'll do my best. I love just a classic red, white, and blue, and it's 100% Starscream, especially in bot mode.
Yeah,
and in the film, he's in the coronation. He's got the big purple flowing cape behind him. That just offsets that character so well. Amazing golden
crown
on him. Crown. He's a killer figure.
Peak Starscream.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. I purchased the Coronation Starscream in a masterpiece simply for that visual effect on my shelf.
Yeah, nice. Beautiful. Love it. Love it. Good call.
Fantastic.
All right, we're over to you, Ben, to start us off in this magical mystery tour. We are now going to the best sculpting.
Yep.
This is a cracker.
Yeah,
I like this one.
And this was an easy choice for me because I went for Predaking, the Predacons, right?
Oh, yeah.
This was sort of, as far as I'm aware, Hasbro's sort of in-house design. And obviously they stole a lot from the future robot Daltinus, which was the robot with the lion head on his chest.
Yep.
So that's a big, you know, steal. But he's just so freaking awesome. I remember I was working in Port Pirie of all places. That's where I was at. And I got my tax bill back and I'm like, right, I'm going to buy Predaking. And I went and bought him online from like Transformer Land or whatever. Came with all the individual boxes and things.
Oh, wow.
And stuff, all 100% complete. And it was just a holy grail of mine to secure him into my collection. Unfortunately, I got the plastic version as opposed to the metal version. But still, you know, I got the boxes and things, which sort of outweighed the other option. I just freaking love him. As five individual bots, they look fantastic. As a combined mode, he looks simply outstanding.
Yeah.
I love robots that not only come with a gun but a sword as well. Yeah, that's a huge, big you know, thing for me. I've eyed off many third parties and never jumped on it, but he would be one that I would just, you know, jump on a third party version. Some of them come pretty big.
Yeah.
But this color scheme, everything about him is just phenomenally cool, and he's a lot taller than most of all the other combiners that were ever released. So
he makes Devastator look puny.
He does. Like he's really cool.
Mm. Well, speaking of Devastator, I went with the Constructicons. If we're going robots in disguise, as their little, like, you know, the cranes and all their construction vehicles, they'd fool a lot of people, right? Like they you know, there's not a lot of things wrong with how they look. Oh, you know, a lot of things are, you know, like Shockwave, you look at it and go, oh, that's clearly a toy. That's that's, you know, that, what does it change into? These Constructicon things, when they came out in the 80s, I can imagine them being filed under, you know, they put them with
Hot Wheels cars.
Exactly. Yeah. They're that sort of size. They're durable as well. I mean, maybe not 40 years later, they're not as durable, but, you know, they had like metal parts and stuff to their legs and that sort of stuff. And I just think you look at it and you go, yep, that's a dump truck. That's what a dump truck looks like compared to a Transformers take on a dump truck.
Yeah.
And one of the few combiners that has six, you know, two parts of the chest rather than, you know, just a one big Transformer taking up the torso. Yep. So,
all right, I went to the Pretenders, and that was tough because not all of them are great sculpts. But I went with Bomburst. He's a kind of bat like creature.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's just got a shot in case he's a bit more obscure, but the brilliant.
Like Bordak, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, it's kind of got that vampire bat look, and I think they've just really. Now, I love the iguanas as well.
Yes. And there's that bug one.
Yeah, the bug one's great too.
Really cool.
But he's just got the... Because most of them are robot, and they're beautifully done. Like, they're beautifully executed, but they're precise, robotic, streamlined, you know, whereas this has a bit more of that organic.
Yep.
It's got the hair sculpted on, the teeth, and just some more of those details. So, love him. I'm a huge Pretenders fan. Love my Pretenders. I've got a number of them sitting on my desk at work, and I get a lot of enjoyment out of those. Very, very
wacky. Do you have Optimus Prime?
No.
No. Scotty?
Love me a triple changer. The idea of the engineering and design concept of making one toy that can ultimately become three toys. It's Astro Train, because we all know Astro Train. Pivotal role in the 86 movie. Wonderfully executed. Well done.
Yep. 100%. Fantastic.
One of the few triple changes looks good in all three modes. Often there's a weak one, but his are all pretty bang on.
Yep.
All right. So obviously on that, I sort of went away from how good they look in the vehicle and robot mode, and I thought I'm going to go with something with a bit more articulation and kind of stuff like that, even though it was later in the line. So I've gone with Abominus.
He can do like a fly kick, can't he?
Yeah. And obviously, like when you start to even get into like the Cenobot hunger, like it's a lot more articulated, and the colours, even though they're odd, like we're just talking about Devastator and Predaking, they're odd, but they just work so well together. You've got a blue and a green, you've got a white and a blue,
pinks,
like pinks. Everything is all essentially thrown into this one combiner, and obviously, the pinnacle of that is in Call of the Primitives when he's animated in that as well, which him and both him and Predaking. Like, that's just the show. That's the one that lives in my mind as what Abominus should be,
yep,
and what he looks like. And you know, I think, you know, I got that was one of the ones that I got later down the line as well, like trying to fill out. And yeah, just the extra articulation in due to Hunger's beast mode just works so well for the Cabana.
Yep.
Yeah, he can. So just for those that at home, I took a photo of Abominus and he's standing on one leg, fly kicking up in the air with his, you know, arms sort of outreach like that. And he's the only combiner that can do that.
Yeah.
And that is in, you know, that's unheard of in G1
yes
toy articulation terms. So I can see why that was a good call.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, Frank, over to you on the best accessory.
Well, I'm going to jump in here and steal Ben's answer for all the other categories. It's your boy Soundwave. Like, I mean, the cassettes is the obvious one in terms of they are accessories, really. You know, you can, with the right sort of pose, you can get it to sit on his, you know, laser beak or whatever on his arm, on his shoulder in particular. But also his shoulder cannon and his, I don't know, his main gun that has a missile that comes out of it. You shrink them up and they can go in the back and they're batteries. They're batteries for the Walkman type thing. And that just blew my mind as a kid. He's one I've still had as a kid, still got him and still got all the accessories, got the missiles. And I just sit there and go, it's just, there's something about that shoulder cannon. There's a few Transformers that sort of do it, but you just, when you see a shoulder cannon and a face with a mask on it, you go, that Soundwave.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, yeah, in every iteration, he's got some sort of thing on his shoulder. When he doesn't, which he has on a few occasions, it looks weird, which you go, well, the accessory, if you will, is, you know, become part of his character almost. Yep. So, yeah, Soundwave.
Yeah, good call. I went down a similar kind of path, and I went to the Action Masters. Got to give Action Masters a bit of a shout out.
Yep.
Some really cool accessories here because they essentially come with little transforming either bits that turn into guns or helicopters and various different things. But I went with Treadshot, who comes with basically...
Oh, yeah, my boy.
Yeah, a cat gun. Yeah. Like this, line gun. So it's like an orange and black kind of tiger, big cat, and then you can insert the gun into its posterior. And essentially turn him into a gun. So I think they're genius. Yeah, I know. It's always funny, right?
I love looking at the Action Masters and we're trying to work out what they would transform into if they transform it. And Treadshot is it like he's a gun because his legs are the handle of a gun.
It's like Megatron's legs, sort of.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a cool looking bot.
Yes.
Very, very.
He was the one of the few I had as a kid, so he's very special to me. So thanks for calling that one out.
Got to say, just rewind the podcast 2 minutes, replay Frank's answer, because it is the cassettes that go with Soundwave, Frenzy, Rumble, Laserbeak, and just all of those figures. I think they captivated me as a child more than the larger figures themselves.
Mm.
It almost scrambled a child's brain to think that a smaller Transformer could fit inside of a larger Transformer.
Yeah. Yep.
Standout figures as the accessories.
And so well played in the cartoon as well. Yeah. That playability was, you know.
And Ravage, you're my man.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's the man.
Best accessories. This one was tough because there's so many that require a lot of accessories, but ultimately I landed in Target Master Cyclonus.
Oh,
okay.
Obviously, him and Scourge become some of the harder ones to find when you start getting down there, but and they sort of get up in price when you're trying to find them together. But like just that concept, it works so well together for the Decepticons. Mm. Like, if you're gonna have a partner, he's gonna transform into a gun. You know, and it sort of counterbalances the headmasters on the Autobots, which obviously in the cartoon series, the headmasters come first. Mm. And yeah, if the Decepticons are going to do it, it's going to leave a trail of destruction as well.
Mm. We don't need transforming brain power. We need transforming firepower. Yeah. Like, yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised no one called this one out. And it is, of course, Piranacon, the Seacons, right? And my reasoning is... is because each of those Seacons can transform into a Turrent in themselves, right? Yeah, they each come with the base and can transform into the Turrent. And then Piranacon as itself, that's a six combiner character, but it only takes five to combine it.
Yep.
The sixth one becomes a Target Master gun in itself, right? And you can switch out any of the limbs aside from the torso, of course. Mm. You can switch out any of those things into a Target Master for a Piranacon. It is just such a cool, fantastic toy. Greens, you know, silver, pinks, these colors, sort of more aqua, I should say. Mm. These colors shouldn't work together. He looks fantastic. He's got the whole, you know, spiritual beast of the, you know, deep Atlantic feel to him.
Neptune sort of motif.
Comes with a huge sword. As well. I rate him so highly. He is just absolutely fantastic. And an absolute pain in the backside to find all those accessories by themselves until he was reissued 15 times over. And now that thankfully that price has come way down. Mm. But for a collector like me who was trying to collect them before that reissues came out, it's near impossible, man. So Piranacon is just one of the best combiners or assaults, I reckon, released.
Yep.
Very good. I think obviously with the reissue of that one as well, we got the upgrade to the chrome sword for him as well, which obviously wasn't available as the G1 was released, but it just works so well.
So cool. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Next category is just the most fun. And I have a affinity obviously for the movie. And one of the best executed Transformers from that movie that just captures the vibe of the character is Gnor. I think he just looks perfect.
Well, is he a shark or a frog?
He's both.
Right.
He's a Sharktacon.
Yeah.
I know. But you look at it. But my niece came into my toy room one time. I'd never looked at him any other way, and she said, "Oh, it's a frog." And since then, I have never been able to look at him the same way.
He's like a blurp.
Yeah.
The blurp from Star Wars, you know, that thing that the Mandalorian rides? It's just got the two legs and a big head and a mouth.
Wow. He also has more of a piranha sculpt than a shark.
Yeah,
sculpt,
true.
As well. If you're going to confuse it for anything,
I get the frog. He's got the big bug eyes. He's got tiny little limbs. He's round. I see that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not dissing him. I freaking love him. He was on my list. I had to move him off for another character, but Gnor is just so cool. And one of the few characters I kept in my collection post-movie because I moved all of those on.
Yeah.
But Gnor I could not sell. I love him so much. So, well called.
I couldn't settle on one particular item in the Decepticons that was the most fun toy. I looked at all of them and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Megatron's awesome and the Seekers are pretty awesome. And in my indecision, it occurred to me that it's not one that's cool. It's the whole damn toy line that's cool. This toy line, I mean, ultimately, is probably the greatest toy line, the most fun toy line ever created to play with. Am I wrong in saying that?
No.
If you're talking Decepticons exclusively, no. Like, I think you know, if you had to pick a side within that toy line, Decepticons by a mile. Yeah,
but you get a puzzle, you get a vehicle, you get a robot, you get secret plan with one, you just change it to the other.
Mm. Yeah.
So there is my non-committive, undecided
answer for you. Yeah, good call.
Did some research on that one. For me, the funnest one was probably the most obvious one that has been shouted out already in a couple of the other categories, and that's Soundwave.
Mm.
Obviously, just the fact that, you know, you can get Soundwave by himself. He comes with someone, you can just go off and play with it. You always got a minion with him across the various releases that he had. You've always got Soundwave and one of his sidekicks to go off and play with however you like.
Yep. Beautiful. Yep. Well said.
We've had the main triple changes called out. You know, later in the run, we had other triple changes like Eight Face and things. Mm-hmm. How can you beat any of them? Six Shot beats them. Hands down.
He is cool.
You times it by two and you enter a Six Shot into the frame.
Yeah.
And arguably, you know, four of those combinations look decent, you know.
Always the way.
Look, you know, half decent, but Six Shot just absolutely I think he's so cool. Mm. And the fact that when you open the toy, it's on the instruction sheet says, right, you know, this instruction sheet is sealed. See if you can work it out yourself.
Wow.
So Hasbro, Takara, whatever, are challenging the owner to, you know, see what they can do. And that's how I was presented, you know, because I was able to get it in box and things.
Yep.
So my first experience was, oh, okay, well, now I'm going to have to try and see if I can
and
work it out.
And if you break it, you got to buy another one.
Well, I was very ginger with it, yeah. I can tell you that much. But Six Shot just, yeah, so
he
cool.
He looks so cool too.
Yeah.
Now tell me, did you get into the Headmaster's secret seventh?
Oh, I read about that on the online and things. That's a bit, you know, grey area in my opinion. But yeah, look, all the more, you know, if there's a Six Shot turns into seven, then good on you.
For fun, I went with one I had as a child, and me and my sister had one each, and I'm talking about the battle charges. So they were basically the pullback ones that were cars. It was a, help me out with the names here, Morgan.
Runabout and Runamuck.
Thank you very much. I think I had the beige one. My sister had the red and black one, and you'd pull them back, and then at a certain point, that as they're flying along, they'd flip up and change into robot mode. And I just think that's such a cool feature for it. You know, they've done those characters a few times in other lines, and then it's all about the articulation. I'm like, no, if it doesn't have a pullback motor in it, you're missing the funnest part. And they, considering we had them from childhood, there's only one that had like a broken arm, like the top shoulder sort of chipped off, because we rammed those things into any obstacle we could find. So yeah,
good call. Loved playing with those, friends had them, and they were heaps of fun. So wonderful. All right, Scotty, over to you. Favorite Transformer in Beast Mode? Favorite Decepticon in Beast Mode?
I went the most obvious answer here. It's definitely the Insecticons. Mm. The three of those, when they came out, just that black, that yellow, that purple, captivating, wanted them, didn't have them, still want them. That's my choice.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool one. And obviously they were, you know, aimed at sort of the lower price point as well, which obviously made them a bit more accessible to all the kids as well. But for me, it was a bit of a toss-up, but ultimately I landed on something that's already been talked about again as well, which is, like, I've got to go Razorclaw from the Predacons.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, sweet.
Just because, you know, that black and gold lion, it's just such a cool-looking toy. Like, and, you know, he was the leader of, like, essentially the most powerful Kabiner that the Decepticons had as well.
Yep.
And, you know, compared to some of the others in the team, he sort of got a few episodes where he sort of got to shine on that as well. And so you got a bit of a backstory on it. But, yeah, and just the head sculpt is so cool.
Yeah.
The lion is so cool.
Yep. Comes with that transforming cannon that you can have one pistol or two. That's just freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So ultimately, that's where I landed on that. Like, he was another one that I didn't get to later, and he was one that was always high on the want list.
Yep, 100%. All right, favorite beast mode for me is of course Scorponok. Right, the fact that the sheer size of a scorpion is bigger than half the Transformer collection is just absolutely phenomenal. He could pick characters up and things like that. He, you know, had the big pincer, the whole color scheme, everything about him is just guns, you know, to the hilt. I just think Scorponok is just absolutely phenomenal. And the sheer size of him is a, you know, pivot towards sort of my choice because he's just phenomenal.
Yeah, massive. Oh, along those.
He was one that I picked up out at good old Paddy's Market.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I was able to pick him up for about $30 as a kid. He had a couple. He had an arm missing and I think two of the small orange guns.
Yeah.
But pretty well everything
Even
else
the Headmaster.
Was there. Yeah, Headmaster was there, all there, all good.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, he was just one of those ones that it's like, this is him.
Yeah,
like I've seen him on the cartoon. I want him.
Yeah,
like, I've never seen him. Like he was a bit late for me. Like it was probably late '90s, or early '90s sort of thing. But I was like, I've got to have this. And you know, at $30, you can't go wrong. Yeah, that is
the biggest Decepticon. I think the tallest at that era. Yep. He was the tallest.
Oh, definitely. So. Yeah. Along those lines, I went with Trypticon, and it's not technically beast mode because that's arguably his robot mode when he's a giant T-Rex, but, you know, he's one that I got relatively recently, I think at, you know, the last Toy Fair, actually, if I where I used the proceeds from that I got from Toy Fair to go buy him online and stuff, all complete. So, he's one that stands out on my shelf just for that sheer presence, and that he walks. Mm. He can sort of, you know, and he's not running like after Chris Pratt or anything, but, you know, he's still got that little robotic shuffle, and, Trypticon for me.
Yeah, nice, cool, good, all good ones. I went with Scoppernock as well.
Oh, beautiful.
I think he's just looks, it's that hybrid robotic scorpion with the guns is just super cool. Probably not done that well in the movies.
But I like his stealth ability.
Yeah.
Like they were like really scared that he could pop anywhere and things. And yeah, a real concern. Horror-esque character.
Yeah. All right. We've got a couple more categories. We've got favorite vehicle alt mode. Favorite, and then it's over to Morgan.
Yep.
So this favorite vehicle
slash alt mode. So you know, like it's so. Let's say a character doesn't transform into a vehicle; we transform into something else. So you've got that option because not all, you know, like Soundwave.
They're not all vehicles.
Soundwave doesn't favorite transform alt mode, into a vehicle.
Yeah, I think obviously mine is probably one of the most obvious ones, and it's one of the best executed in the vehicle alt modes, and that's. You could throw a blanket over all three of them. It's Starscream and the Jets.
Yes, the Seekers. Yep.
It's so iconic.
Just, like, obviously, as far as you're looking at alt mode, like, they just nail it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can take your pick of which color you want, and you can just off you go because, yeah, they, as far as, like, they take a bit to get there as far as some accessories that can go missing and whatever, but, like, they're easily, they pull it off the best out of probably, you know, it's closely followed by Soundwave as far as, you know, there's plenty of those that get confused back in the day. But, like, I think, yeah, they easily top the list for me as the fave vehicle in alt mode.
100%.
Yeah,
good call.
So good, yeah. Good I mean, it looks like a jet toy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's how good it is in alt mode.
Yeah.
And that was the jet. Like, that was that style of jet.
Top Gun.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone wanted that jet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Perfect. 100%. For me, it's Megatron. I mean, for a toy to be banned, to, you know, and things, for all the other iterations of Megatron since, I mean, bar, you know, MP, what is it, 44 or things, you know, it cannot be a gun anymore. Yeah. It has to be a tank. It has to be a truck. It has to be something else, you know.
Yeah.
It's received that much, you know, grey area that it can't be a gun anymore. But the actual figure itself, you know, combination itself, it does look like a damn real gun.
Yep.
And once you add all those silencer and the gun holst and the, you know, the scope and things, it freaking bulks out. Yep. Like it's a pretty big looking thing. And I'm just, I just think it's so cool. And I don't think he looks fantastic in robot mode. He's skinny legs and things and that, but
penis, you know, gun.
I've done a naughty thing. I've actually bent the gun around to his shoulder, like he does in the animation.
Yeah.
And when I've showed photos, the Transformer nutters are saying, "You've transformed him wrong." Like they spot him, you know. And I've had numerous
instructions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just think Megatron is just phenomenal, and the fact that he's had that much concern over him, it just shows how well the execution of his alt mode is. So
nice.
Mm. Yep. I went with a pretty obscure one to the point where I'm actually going to pull him up on my phone just for anyone who's not familiar. One I had as a kid, one of the Target Masters, and is Misfire, who's basically a giant pink jet. But just the way that jet looks and the sculpting on it is just phenomenal. Like he's got sort of like two sort of points at the front. He's got the forward facing sort of angled wings. He's got wings that sort of sit up the top that would sort of be on his shins and stuff. It's just something about the sculpting on that just sort of blows my mind. Like, I'll just pass that around for anyone who's not familiar with him. It's from the animation, but and he's a bit of a derpy kind of robot mode. He's just sort of very blocky, but the actual like jet mode just really, you know, when I started drawing as a kid, that's the kind of like futuristic sort of, you know, angular wings and sort of sharp angles that I would draw as a kid.
And I think all those three Target Master jets hold their own as well. Like you could throw it, like they're another one that is you know, they're futuristic, but they just look so good.
Yeah,
you know,
I never got to have, like, was it Double Dealer and...
So you got Slugslinger. And Trigger Happy. Like, Trigger Happy was literally the first Transformer that I got, so that's where it all started right there.
Wow, nice.
There you go.
Notoriously known for breaking those clips that hold those two guns on the side, but, yeah, like, they are just so good. Like, that three work so well together.
Yep.
Speaking of Trigger Happy, I went with Trigger Happy. Again, I think there's something very special about transforming a plane, but then having the little mini character to go into the cockpit.
Mm.
And I loved that concept. I thought that was just so much fun. And I think, like, you can throw a blanket over those sort of futuristic jets.
Yep.
Because I'm a big fan of sci-fi, but I think he just looks so cool. And I love that feature.
Yep. Well said.
Morgan, not only are you a fountain of Transformers information, but you are correct in saying the Seekers and the Coneheads in sort of encompassing the Jets are the perfect answer here.
Yep.
I have memories as a kid that pushing Transformers as vehicles around on the ground is pretty cool, but to be able to pick up a jet and then run down the hallway, burst out the back door, run around the backyard with a jet in your hand, making jet engine noises and going pew, 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 is just
the pinnacle.
Nostalgia overload.
Yeah. That's what it is. Beautiful.
Wonderful. Two more categories to go. We are now over, I think, if I'm keeping track, over to Ben on favorite playset mode.
Yep. Has to be Trypticon. All right. Aside from the fact that he's a dinosaur that transformed into a massive, you know, Combaticon city.
Yep.
The fact, you know, he's got little extra appendages that look like sort of discs, and that can attach to, is it Menasaur's, what's Onslaught, is it?
Onslaught
and Motor Master. Yeah, you can combine them to really flesh him out, much like Metroplex could with the, you know, attach the combiners onto his limbs. Trypticon had that same feature, so you can, you know, have the city and then bulk him out even more. And that, I just think that is just so cool, you know, combining on combiners. Like, just I love that aspect, and that's something they don't really tell you in the you know, 80s toy line and things. It's something the Japanese sort of found out, and then it's passed through collectors to collectors, and you read them in the guides and things. So I love that extra build up of, oh my gosh, I didn't know this as a kid and now I know it as an adult. I just love those sort of hidden aspects and those
I think the flow on effect was that from that as well, is when you had Onslaught and you had Motor Master, you're like, what the hell?
What are these third designs?
Like, why is there a ramp? Why is all this stuff here?
Yep.
And then you found out later that, oh, that's because they connect onto Trypticons.
Yes.
And they can launch off Stunticons and Combaticons.
I think,
obviously they were wound back on the USA
safety
releases.
Laws. Yeah. Because they used to have, I think in Japan they would have springs and things, but for the American release they took all the springs and the buttons out.
Yeah, just a launcher on there. So obviously you launch off the ramp for any of the combining figures.
Yep.
Much like Optimus Prime in the trailer for Roller, you would have that for most of the, you know, title.
I did see recently someone did up some kits to be able to restore them as well on some of the G1
figures. Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Cool. Well, it's funny you should mention Onslaught, because that was my pick. Like, he's one that he's very blocky in either mode, and you get him with this ramp, and you're like, what the hell is this? And it's not till you realize, you know, Trent and the others maybe haven't seen that, but essentially you turn him into this battle station, and he's got the big cannon at the front, so you can have someone there, man. You can have people on the side, and he's a built-in battle station, and I had him for years before I knew that was a thing. And he went from this, okay, he's a one guy with one feature, to like, oh, so suddenly, you know, there's more you can do with him. So yeah, that was mine.
Nice.
100%.
I went with Trypticon. He's one that I've got in my collection. It's a reissue, but it's not the original. But again, love the fact that he's in that city mode with the little car that can drive around.
Yep.
And, you know, that I always thought was the pinnacle of Transformers, when you've got the 86 movie and you've got, you know, transforming city, Autobot city, What more can you want as a kid to have a play set base like that?
All the Stunticons look cool in the base mode, but what looks better is the Micromasters. Yeah. You put the Micromasters and then all of a sudden the city looks even a lot better. Bigger. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
It's Trypticon, and for all the same reasons you guys have already mentioned.
Yeah.
So I obviously you got to toss up between the two big guys, but I landed this time on the side of Scorponite. Obviously, like he's a cool character and whatever, but obviously one of the contributing factors was just the nostalgia side of it as well for him.
Yeah.
Like you know, you've got the cool Scorponok mode, rolls along, the little legs move along and all that kind of stuff as well. And, you know, you've got a couple of different base modes that you can sort of put him in as well. And obviously you also get the bonus of the little headmaster. You can get out and play around as well and, put him in his little hole there. And, you know, same with, like, both play sets. You get a little launcher for his little sidekick and that as well. And Yeah, I ultimately landed on Scorponok.
Beautiful. Great choice.
Nice. Yep. Love it. All right, we're up to the big one. Frank, over to you for the best overall Decepticon Transformer.
Well,
no pressure.
It's one I sort of half acquired as a kid. He was missing a very key part that sort of ruins the figure a bit. Has been shouted out a couple of times tonight. And I actually ended up pretty sure I bought it, the complete version, or the one that currently sits in my collection. Pretty sure I bought it from Ben. You sold me a Galvatron, yeah?
Was maybe, that you? Maybe, yeah. I sold all my movie figures.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yep.
And basically, I had one in my collection for the longest time that had half the orange barrel, which was just
criminal.
It breaks you. If a figure's missing their little pistol or whatever, you can live with that. But you just go, This is his thing, and I've got half of it. And you know, trying to track that down was a real pain. So to get a nice minty one, you know, stickers are on there. He's just all the things we talked about. Leonard Nimoy, he's intimidating. He, you know, he makes Megatron look puny by comparison. He's my guy.
Good call. This is going to be interesting to see how many of these have had a call out in other categories. I know mine has. Look, I went with Starscream just because of that jet mode.
Yep.
You could pick any other variant on the colors and they're all amazing too, but I do love the Starscream color scheme. One of my favorites was that MP with his coronation. Because I love that sequence. I just think it's so good. He just gets totally destroyed at his coronation. I think that's a classic way to get rid of Starscream. but I think that jet mode is sensational. And to think that was, I mean, that's Takara, obviously, and it's come out early in the line, but it's virtually not topped in terms of the quality of that alt mode. And he looks decent in robot mode as well. So he's my boy. Probably not my favorite character. Didn't mind him getting disintegrated, but love him as a toy.
But you respect him much more because he got the story arcs and things like that.
Of course.
You
know? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's Devastator.
Nice. Good call.
Everywhere, shape, or form. Always wanted Devastator, loved Devastator, turned up. He was like a special character. He was like Hulk Hogan. When he showed up on the screen, it's like, holy shit, check this out.
It's a
this
Devastator episode.
Devastator's running wild.
Just Devastator, combine. Yeah. And just the sound and all the
well, he was the first. He was before any of the Autobots and the first Decepticon to combine, and it's like, they can do that. Game changer.
Blew your mind. Yep. As a figure, when I got back into toy collecting, Megatron was the first figure I got. That was the impetus for me to start collecting toys again. Yeah. And the very next Transformer I purchased was Devastator. He remains probably my standout favorite figure. The look, the appeal, the six individual toys, the color, perfect.
Nice. Great shot.
Good call.
Great call.
For me, I think it was probably the obvious one, and it is Soundwave.
Yeah.
Everything about him screams cool, like from the voice to the look to just being a little tape deck with all these little minions. There is nothing in there that tops Soundwave. He was the one that I wanted forever, and you know, I never got him as a kid, but he was the one that I always wanted. I went into Toy World so many times. He was there. That's the one I want. but I didn't get him. Oh. And now I have him in my collection, and obviously the Masterpiece stuff as well. But yeah, he is by far the best overall figure. He's got, you know, it's a bit of backwards, but he's got a bit more articulation than some of the other ones in that initial run as well. Yep. And yeah, so I landed on, yeah, Soundwave.
Cool, cool.
Beautiful.
No surprise in the room. I've kept him quiet the whole round. It is, of course, the Cassette Man, Soundwave. I fortunately did get Soundwave as a kid. He was arguably the first or second Transformer I got, and within a week of apart of getting my first one or whatever. Absolutely just sensational. I adored him. I adored him watching every episode right past the movie. He was on every cartoon episode of the run. He fantastic toy. Excellent disguise mode in his cassette form. Found out years later that, oh, those guns can be batteries. Never told you that in the instructions and things. That, again, is fan community coming together and telling you this when you're more mature. The fact that he came with Buzzsaw as a given, and then, you know, the whole reel of, oh, look, Laserbeak is number one in the cartoon. So, Mom, Dad, give me, you know, go and buy me another
more
pack.
More.
Yeah. Yeah. Ravage, you know, all the cassettes and things, just absolutely fantastic. Only made better with a Sound Blaster, which was the Japanese one with the child two cassettes.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sound Blaster is just, Soundwave, sorry, is just hands down the coolest Transformer. I've got many iterations of him, both Generation 1, the cartoon from the commemorative release. Masterpiece is one of the first ones I picked up, and just that is the perfect Masterpiece toy. Soundwave is my boy. And since Forever and a Day is still my favorite Transformer character, toy, you name it, hands down. So,
nice. They went away and said, how can we make him cooler? Let's make him black and red.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, that was a lot of fun. I was looking forward to the Decepticon one ever since we did the Autobot episode. Yeah. And that has not disappointed at all. Morgan, that was fantastic to have you for this episode because you're an absolute font of knowledge.
So much knowledge.
Oh, man, you can just rattle this stuff off, which is incredible. So
the only thing I was a bit unfortunate is the US line, we didn't get to talk about Overlord as one of the bases. Obviously I have the Fans Hobby one, and yes, one of those elusive ones that I want to chase down at the end of the Euro line as well. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
some very cool characters in that initial run.
You could argue, what? How can you make Scorponok even better? You paint him black and give him a crown and
Black Zarek,
give him a massive trident and call him Black Zarek. You know,
just don't like, touch him.
The gold gold syndrome.
If we're talking G1, like American release, where would you say you're at, like collection wise, like a percentage? Are you 50%, 60%? Like you,
I would like to say probably. Maybe an 80. Like a lot of the Action Masters and sort of thing, there's still a few bits and pieces, but I've got like some kind of representation. I've got either a figure or like sort of something that's just waiting. Yep. The small gun or its little partner.
But like the ones that most people would know, like, you know, 84 to say 88 or 89.
Obviously Decepticon side, they're all done, like as far as up to end of the cartoon run. So your Scorponok is probably the pinnacle of that on the Decepticon side. Fort Max still eludes me on the Autobot side.
Wow.
And you won't go reissue round?
I've had the reissue, but so everything that I've tried to keep has been genuine G1.
Yeah,
nice.
Good on you, man. Wow. Well done.
Which it gets tougher and tougher. Like stuff like that as well. But Fort Max on that side is one that I'm willing to take the time, and I want him also in the box and that as well.
Wow.
Full on.
Yeah. So, yeah, but the longer I wait, the more it goes. But, yeah, obviously some of those, like in a lot of those pretenders, I've got, a few, most of those with just the odd bit missing. It's more some of that late 90s stuff, like some of those Jets and Skyquake and Stalker and all those kind of ones that will probably be, yeah, the harder ones to track down because they seem to get sort of stuck between the G1 and the G2.
Yeah.
The only G2 that I do have is the G2 Megatron tank.
Yes.
Nice.
And yeah, I display him with my Power Master Prime because obviously they go so well together.
Similar scale.
And yeah, obviously you can't ever have a Megatron without an Optimus Prime there as well.
Good call. That's great. Good stuff.
Pointy end as is always something more to get. These collections never seem to be fully over, but that's half the fun of it.
Yep.
Thanks everyone for tuning in to another episode of Toy Power, and to all our patrons, thank you so much for your ongoing chatter on the Discord. And sorry, yes, one more thing.
Shout out for 350.
Next week
is coming. We're finally going to do it.
May 4th.
Our listeners have been waiting an eternity for this episode to come. It's happening. Tune in next week, 8 o'clock Australian time or Adelaide time. We'll post details on our socials. Yeah. We'll let you know what it's all about. Finally, it's going to happen.
International listeners, prepare to stay up late because it'll be worth it.
Or get up early.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
We'll see you then. And we don't see you before down the toy aisles.
And until next time, good journey.
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast. At Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. Or have your say and email us, toypowerpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.